Good evening. Welcome to worship as we celebrate Pentecost 4. And guests and visitors are always welcome, of course, as well. And we have our guests and visitors who are going to be worshiping with us online as well. Good to have you all here. I remind you that if you're singing, please wear your mask during that time. Otherwise, during the proclamation of the gospel and other parts, we should be safe and sound with each other together. A few announcements that I want to highlight for you. We've been celebrating birthdays here at Emmanuel Lutheran. Yesterday, it was the birthday of Janet Sunday. And so happy birthday, Janet. And today, Don Holton, and tomorrow, Matt Sir. So 3 days in a row, we're celebrating the gift of life. Also, want to remind you about New Life, Carry Them Through campaign. We set a goal last week for ourselves of providing enough resources so that we would be able to help a mother and a child through pregnancy. We've already received $1,300, and that means 2.5 babies already. And so we're grateful for that. And remember, if you're giving a gift to that, make sure you put it on your check memo or on your envelope that it's for the New Life campaign, okay? Also, tomorrow there's an opportunity if you'd like to go down to Dexter, Minnesota. Zion Lutheran Church will be socially distancing and also wearing masks, but it'll be an opportunity to see what a simple construction of a church building would look like. And so it's basically a shell that afterwards then you can decide what will be on the inside of that as far as the layout for function and for simplicity and for fiscal responsibility. Anyway, that's at 2:00 down there. You'd want to allow yourself 45 minutes at least probably to get there. And if you need directions, Lee and Judy Pierce can help you with that as well. And then also this coming Wednesday, good Lord willing, if the weather provides, some of the men are going to get together, a handful of us, and we'll socially distance and have a Bible study. And then there will also be a council meeting that'll be coming up with a Zoom council meeting, 3:00 on Friday. We have our July Emmanuel newsletter, prayer calendar, and also our new picture directory available. And as you leave tonight, there'll be a copy out there that we can hand to you as well. I believe those are the announcements that need to be highlighted tonight. And so I invite you to rise as you are able for our gathering song, When Peace Like a River.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh. and so it is well with my soul.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You are the treasured people of the Lord.
A people holy to the Lord our God.
Keep the words of the Lord in your hearts. Teach them to your children.
Talk about them when you are at home, and when you are away, and when you lie down, and when you rise.
One does not live by bread alone,
but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord.
Our scripture song this summer, Lord, Let My Heart Be Good Soil. We sing it twice. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Merciful Father, for Jesus' sake you have welcomed us into your kingdom and given us abundant and eternal life. Set us free from the power of sin and death, and send us forth to serve and welcome others, seeing in them the very presence of your Son. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
The first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 28, beginning with verse 5. The prophet Jeremiah spoke to Hananiah the prophet in the presence of the priests and all the people who were standing in the house of the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. May the Lord do so. May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true and bring back to this place from Babylon the vessels of the house of the Lord and all the exiles. Yet hear now this word that I speak in your hearings and in the hearing of all the people. The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 119, beginning with verse 153, and we will read it responsively. Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law.
Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise.
Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes.
Great is your mercy, O Lord. Give me life according to your rules.
Many are my persecutors and my adversaries, but I do not swerve from your testimonies.
I look at the faithless with disgust, because they do not keep your commands.
Consider how I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love.
The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever.
Our second lesson is from the book of Romans, chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Do you not know, brothers, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives? For a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I would not have known sin. For I would not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing an opportunity throughout the commandment, produced in me all kinds of covetousness. For apart from the law, sin lies dead. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin came alive, and I died. The very commandment that promised life proved to be death to me. For sin, seizing an opportunity through the commandment, deceived me, and through it, killed me. So the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin producing death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin, and through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our gospel verse.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person, because he's a righteous person, will receive a righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Congregation may be seated. The children's message has already been recorded and posted on Facebook. And also, we will be singing verses 1 and 2 of our hymn of the day now, before the sermon, and then verses 3 and 4 following the sermon. By the grace of God, you and I are always on the receiving end. Tonight's gospel lesson is a continuation of the past 2 weeks. So for 3 weeks in a row, we hear Jesus' sermon on mission from Matthew chapter 10. And as we come to the conclusion of his sermon for tonight, we hear repetition. We hear the word reward 3 times. And we hear the word receive, 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 receive 8 times. Obviously, as Jesus is coming to the end of his sermon on mission, he wants us to know that there's something about receiving and about rewards. So what do we do when everything is already a done deal? In other words, what is it that we can do to contribute to the gift of salvation when in fact God has already given us this gift through the atoning sacrifice of his Son, Jesus Christ? What is it that we must do, will do? So let's talk about rewards. When my kids were young, well, they participated in a program with Pizza Hut called a Book It program, and if they read 20 minutes a day for, well, let's say 5 days a week, and the parents checked it off, then at the end of it, what would happen? Well, they would get their own reward, a personal pan pizza. Schools have that program, and you can even sign up for the summer as well. So what was the reward? Well, most people would say, I got my free personal pan pizza, because I worked for it, because I did something so that I could get something. But you and I both know what the real reward was: the love of reading. In other words, as a person read, their vocabulary expanded. As a person read, they learned about spelling. They learned about comprehension. They learned about love of reading. Rewards and receiving. A lot of times in life, because you got to go to work, and if you go to work, then you get your paycheck, or children get an allowance because they've got chores to do. The way it works in this world is, well, you got to do something to get something. And a reward could be a perk because you've done something good, so you get something good, or the reward could be a punishment because you've sassed or you've failed to accomplish something, and now you're going to lose a privilege or get a time out. Do we always get in response to what we've done? I mean, is this how God's going to work? Or does God have a different mode of operandum? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. God does it all for us so that we can participate in the doing as well. Do you see the difference? In other words, if God has already saved us through the death and resurrection of Jesus, if the reward is already guaranteed, as Jesus proclaims in Matthew chapter 10, Well, then it's a done deal, and that means that we got to, and we get to, share the reward with others. So what's the reward? Do we have to do something? Well, let's think about that. I mean, there's a story that's been around for years. You know it. It's been told in a variety of different ways, variations. This is the story that I remember, where there was a major storm coming down, and so the sirens went off, and people were warned by the public officials, you need to seek higher ground, you need to evacuate. And of course, there was a man who was a deeply devoted follower of Jesus Christ, went to church every week. He said, I trust in God. I put my faith in Jesus. God is always going to save me. And even though they said, evacuate, 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 this man said, I'm staying in my house. God is going to save me. Well, the water started to come, and they started to climb. And what did the man do? Well, he stayed put, and there was the next door neighbor who said, I've got an open seat in my car, hop in, let's get out of here while the getting is good. He said, no, that's okay, God's going to save me. And then the waters kept rising as the torrential rains kept coming down, and pretty soon there was a man in a canoe. He said, hey, old man, hop in, you got to get in here with me. We got floods coming here. And he said, no, that's okay, God's going to save me. And then the waters kept rising. And then pretty soon, there was a cop in a motorboat, and the water was coming up, you know, by the windows and stuff, and so he had to move up to a little bit higher ground inside of his house. And the police officer said, you need to get in here, and of course, this man of faith, he said, no, that's not necessary. God's going to save me. You need to go out and rescue somebody else that's going to die or perish. Well, the waters kept rising, and so this elderly gentleman went to the roof of his house, and here comes the helicopter, and here comes the ladder down. I mean, you know this story. And he says, no, you don't have to worry about me. God's going to save me. And then eventually the floodwaters, the torrential rains, they destroyed the house, and the man died. And when he was in heaven, and when he was with God, he said, God, I put my whole trust in you and in your son, Jesus. How come you didn't save me? And God said, well, I sent the siren and the warning. And there was the neighbor with the open seat in the car, and there was the canoe, and there was the police officer, and there was the helicopter. What more were you looking to receive? What more were you looking to receive? When it comes to the grace of God, the bottom line is we are always on the receiving end. Freely we have received, and so freely we give. 3 weeks in a row, because this sermon on mission is so important, we get proclamation on Matthew chapter 10. 5 sermons that Jesus preaches in the Gospel of Matthew, and this is number 2. You know where we've been. Jesus has been all over the place, healing all the diseases, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. But the fields are white for harvest, and the crop is starting to perish. He wants everyone to be saved. But the laborers are few, so what's the answer? Well, pray. He takes his disciples, whom he has already taught to pray, and he says, you need to pray earnestly that the Lord of the harvest would send out more laborers into the fields, so that nothing may be lost. And of course, the disciples pray earnestly, and they become the answer to their prayer. And then Jesus takes the disciples, and he commissions them, and they become apostles. The learners become the sent out ones. Jesus says to them, as you go, here's your assignment. Here's your commission. Proclaim that the kingdom of heaven is here now. And as you go, well, heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers. You received without pay, give without pay. Did you catch it? If it's already a done deal, if God has already done what we're incapable of doing for ourselves, namely saving ourselves, then what are we going to do? Well, we're free now to do everything. In other words, we've got the reward. And so now we get to give and share the reward. so that no one may perish. What a gift. What a gift of God. Jesus sends us out into the mission field along with his disciples, and he says, this isn't going to be a cakewalk. I mean, he's not soft-selling it. He's not saying that when you go, that you're going to get this great hospitality. Oh, there'll be some who will receive you, and there'll be some who will reject you. But you won't necessarily get the red carpet treatment. In fact, Jesus says, I need to warn you, because as you go out and about, as you do the mission of your Heavenly Father, there's going to be rejection, there's going to be opposition, there's going to be hatred. Even those closest to you, your own family members, will betray you. You're going to be locked up and put in prison. You're going to be beaten. Whoever does not take up the cross is not worthy of me. This is how important the mission of God is. In fact, our gospel for tonight began with these alarming words. These are words from Jesus. He says, don't think that I've come to bring peace. No, not peace, but a sword. That's what happens when God sends his Son into the world to defeat sin and death and the devil. The Prince of Peace comes and he lays down his life on the cross so that we receive the reward of forgiveness, victory over death, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. What a gift, what a reward. When we get to the end of his sermon, that's when Jesus uses the word reward 3 times and receive 8 times. Yes, when it comes to the grace of God, you and I are always on the receiving end. So what does it mean to be a receiver? Well, it's a package deal, and it's a domino effect. I hope you caught what Jesus said. Jesus says that when you go out and someone receives a prophet, they'll receive a prophet's reward. When someone receives a righteous person, they'll receive a righteous person's reward. And when they receive, well, a disciple of Jesus, a little one, even if it's a cup of cold water, they're not going to lose the reward. So you see, the host, the one who's doing the receiving, is in fact the one that's getting, the giving. In fact, Jesus says, whoever receives you, whether you're a prophet that is proclaiming the good news of God's love, a preacher, or whether you're a righteous person, a redeemed child of God, who's been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever, or whether you're a disciple, a learner of Jesus, who's got a cup of cold water, that living water of Jesus Christ, whoever receives you receives Jesus. And whoever receives Jesus receives the power of the Holy Spirit of the crucified and risen Christ. And they receive the forever or the everlasting Father. What a deal, huh? I mean, they don't even know it sometimes. When we're going out with the gospel, when we're preaching the good news of Christ, they think, well, I can take it or leave it. I can accept it or reject it. They don't realize that what's being offered is the reward of everlasting life. In other words, the eternal presence of Jesus Christ. So when you get the gospel, you get Jesus, you get forgiveness, you get resurrection of the body, you get life everlasting, you get the Son, you get the Holy Spirit, you get the Father. That's what you receive. And here you thought you were just being a good host. Hospitality. Christian hospitality in the name of Jesus. This stuff about rewards and about receiving, it's not the first time you're going to hear it in Jesus' sermons. In fact, I want you to think about 2 sermons from the Gospel of Matthew. The first sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says that as you are practicing your faith, your piety in public, as you're living out this God-given, God-done, saving faith of Christ, you're going to be doing things like, well, giving alms, or praying, or fasting. And when you do it, Jesus says, you either get your reward in the open or in secret. In other words, you're either doing it for a pat on the back and public acclaim, or you're doing it for the praise of God. Those are the only two options. That's the reward, the praise of God. And then if you jump ahead to Jesus' fifth and final sermon, which is in Matthew chapter 25, you know, where the king is seated on the throne and he's separating the sheep and the goats, the last judgment. In that story of the separation, Jesus says, "Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Did you catch that? The kingdom that you inherit has already been prepared for you from the foundation of the world before your mom and dad even met. It was a done deal before you were even born. God had decided that he was going to send Jesus to die for all of our sins. What a gift of God. Come, O blessed ones, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And then Jesus says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a beverage to drink. I was sick, you visited me. I was a stranger, and you received me. I was in prison, and you came to me." And of course, we who are saved say, "When, Lord? When?" And Jesus looks at us and he says, "As you have done it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters," remember, it's a package deal, it's a domino effect, "as you have done it, as you've received, as you've given the cup of cold water to the least of these, you've done it for me." When it comes to the grace of God, you and I are always on the receiving end, and God is on the forever giving end. Let me share a story with you by David Wiggs. It's a story that I read years ago. Evidently, the story goes back even to the time of the Depression era. David Wiggs had written an article that was entitled, "Who Needs a Welcome?" Who needs a welcome? And in the story, David Wiggs tells about a gentleman that he saw in church on a Wednesday for the very first time. I mean, you're talking about years of inviting this man to come to church. And finally, he's dressed in this beautiful gray-brown type of a suit. I mean, immaculate, probably in his late 70s. Finally, in God's house. And David Wiggs said, "Over the years, I wasn't the only one that invited him to come to church. A lot of us got to know him. He was a good man, a man of character, a man that would give you the shirt off of his back. He was a man that did not have faith in God and did not put his trust, his saving faith, in Jesus. But he was a good man." And David Wiggs said, "As I got to know him over the years, we talked about lots of stuff. I mean, lots of stuff. And so I said to him, I said, 'You know, I've asked you lots of times to come to church. You never want to come. Is there a reason?' And he said, 'Well, actually, I haven't told anybody this story, but I'll share it with you, David. You see, when I was about 10 years old, I grew up in a poor family during the Depression. It was a large family. We didn't have much, and it was hard to eke out a living. And so everything I wore was hand-me-downs. Well, one day when I was about 10 years old, a good friend of mine invited me to come to church with him. He said, 'Come to Sunday school, it's a lot of fun.' And so I thought, 'Okay, I'll come.' So I went, and he was right. I mean, the music was fun to sing, and they told us these stories, stories out of the Bible, stories about Jesus, and I really liked it. I thought, this is a good place. And then as Sunday school was ending, the Sunday school teacher came over and took me aside, and she said, 'Son,' she said, 'the next time you come here, I've got to ask you to do me a favor. Please don't wear your scrappy, rugged clothes with the patches on them and stuff, the overalls. Because when we come to God's house, when we come to church, we need to dress up our best. We need to dress up really good for Jesus.' So don't come back in these grubby clothes, okay? And so the 10-year-old looked at the Sunday school teacher and said, "No, ma'am, I won't ever. No, ma'am, I won't ever." And as he continued to tell that story to David, he said, "And so I never did. From age 10 on, I never stepped back into church again." David Wiggs continues the story and he says, "Now just imagine what could have happened if the Sunday school teacher instead had said something like this, 'It's so good to have you here in Sunday school today. I'm so glad that your good friend invited you to come, and I hope you'll keep coming back, because there's lots more stories in the Bible about Jesus, and you're never going to find anyone that loves you with the love of Jesus. Oh, please keep coming back.'" Just imagine, what if the Sunday school teacher had gone to her pastor and said, "You know, we've got a young boy here that's growing up in a large family during the Depression, and they're really struggling, but we could come alongside them. We could get them some clothes and stuff like that." Just imagine if the boy had said, "Yeah, but I don't have any good clothes to wear to church." And she said, "That's okay, because Jesus is going to cover you with his righteousness. He's got clothes for you that you can't buy or purchase anywhere here on earth." Just imagine if the whole church had come alongside and lifted that family up. But as David Wiggs, on that Wednesday afternoon, saw that stately gentleman in his 70s lying in the casket in the church for the very first time, all he could remember was the words, "No, ma'am, I won't ever. No, ma'am, I won't ever. The fields are white for harvest. Pray, therefore, that the Lord of the harvest would send more laborers out, that no one and nothing might be lost." When it comes to the grace of God, you and I are always on the receiving end. Freely we have received, freely we give. What's the reward? It's a done deal. It's the love of Jesus that has been poured into your heart and into my heart. And because we've got it, well, we get to give it. We got to give it, lest the lost wouldn't be found and the dead wouldn't be made alive. Always by the grace of God on the receiving end. Do you remember John chapter 1? He came to his own, the Word made flesh, Jesus, but they received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become the children of God, who were born not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of the will of God. So you see, when it comes to rewards, it's not the personal pan pizza from Pizza Hut. It's the love of reading. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, well, when God sends a warning, or maybe a neighbor with an open seat in their car, or a canoe, or a police officer in a boat, or a helicopter, what are you going to do when God has already done everything for you? Freely you have received, freely you give. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may remain seated as we sing verses 3 and 4 of our hymn of the day.
Follow.
shall come, the city of our God.
We continue with our confession. In Christ you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe in him and are marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit.
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Build yourselves up on your most holy faith.
Pray in the Holy Spirit.
Keep yourselves in the love of God.
Look forward to the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ.
If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us.
In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness by the power of the Holy Spirit, and keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Sisters and brothers, rejoice, mend your ways, encourage one another, agree with one another, live in peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And in the days ahead, share that peace of God with one another. Our offering is at the back as you leave, and for those who give online donations, we thank them for that as well. Also, we'll be closing with our closing prayers, but before we do that, I want to remind you that next week, following worship, there will be communion distribution outside the church building as we individually leave. Let us pray.
In the power of the Spirit, let us pray to God the Father that through his dear Son, he would accomplish his will for the church, the world, and all people for whom we pray. Father, you expect us to see the world honestly and to value your truth above even earthly peace. You speak to us of sin and death, cross-bearing and persecution, suffering and service. Give us a double measure of your Spirit as we seek to be disciples of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give the church courage to speak your truth, even when that seems to bring not peace but a sword. Keep it faithful to the testimonies of the apostles, martyrs, and saints of your one holy Catholic and apostolic church throughout all time and space. Grant that it should prefer nothing whatsoever to Christ, and that it should count as its greatest honor the bearing of his cross in the sin-shadowed world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the people and ministries of this congregation. In these strange and difficult days, give us fresh ways of being nourished in your word and strengthened in our fellowship. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our own nation and for our elected and appointed leaders. We pray not only for our nation, but for the leaders and people of every nation upon earth. Bless our world with peace and with freedom from every evil which besets it. Teach us all to live together as your children and to work together for the good of all. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bring health and gladness to all whose lives are shadowed by pain, suffering, or sorrow.
Gracious Father, we pray your blessings of healing upon Barb Stephenson, Dan Berklin, Bernie Siebenaler, Danny Davervall, Paige Johnson, Julie Blanchett, Melody, Luke, Amy, Terry. We pray for Jeff Bernards, for Brad Lund, for David Deacon Joyner, for Timothy Keller. We pray, O Lord, that you would grant comfort to the people of St. John's in Vilmar with the death of Florence Vicker. Comfort them, O Lord, with the assurance of the resurrection. And we pray also, Lord, for the end of this COVID-19 and for a return of your people, O Lord, with repentant hearts always to your throne of mercy and grace. And we pray, Lord, that you would relieve the racial tensions that are exploding in our world and in our nation.
We also lift in prayer our pastor, David Stephenson. Be their light and life, their guide and joy. Raise them up from the dark valleys in which they wander. Shelter them with love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
All this we ask, dear Father, in the power of your Spirit. Receive our prayers and grant all that is in accordance with your will. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our sending song, two verses of Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus.
Jesus, follow his example pure. Through a world that would deceive us and to sin our spirits lure. Onward in his footsteps treading, pilgrims hear our home above. Full of faith and hope and love, let us do our Father's bidding. Faithful Lord, with me abide. I shall follow where you guide. Let us also live with Jesus. He has risen from the dead. Let to life we may awaken. Jesus, since you are our head, we are your own living members. Where you live, there we shall be. In your presence constantly, living there with you forever. Jesus, if my faithful be, life eternal grant to me.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.